So we are continuing to speak about carbanos, and what we've been trying to point out is that there are different carbanos, and each carban has its own sort of a flavor, its own style. It has its own dinim, and the primary question we've been dealing with in a certain sense is what is the purpose or the goal of the particular carbanos. And the last couple of days we've been trying to explore different mitzvos or things that we're not sure. Are they really carbanos or are they not really carbanos? So we've spoken about Tzipori Mitzorah, we've spoken about Bikurim, we've spoken about the Seir La'Azazel, we've spoken about Ketores. And today we're moving on to a sugya, which is really a Parshas Chukas sugya and a Parshas Parah sugya. And it's one that we haven't spoken about at length a bunch of years ago. We had Shiurim on Thursday nights in Meseches Parah. Only like the first bunch got uploaded online, but we learned, I think, for a year or so, once a week Parah. We speak about Parah Aduma. And one particular element of Parah Aduma, I want to give some background. And then after we give that background, we're going to explore an issue. And we're going to try to do so in a way which I think is intriguing and I think is very important. The halacha is as follows. The Torah teaches us that a person, there's something called Tumah and Tahara. And there are different kinds of Tumah. There are different ways that a person can become impure. And an object's kalim can become impure, and food and drink can become impure. But we're going to focus today for simplicity's sake. A person becomes impure. Different ways that you can become impure. The one way you become impure, which Rashi calls the avi avos hatumah, the most intense form of tumah. The Rambam never uses that term, I don't believe. But avi avos hatumah is tumas meis. If a person encounters a dead body, you, as an example, touch a dead body. Or the unique kind of a tumah with a dead body called tumas ohel. You're in the same room as a dead body. You go under a dead body, on top of a dead body, tumas ohel. So then you become tameh, you become tameh meis. There are a lot of halachas when you become tameh meis. First of all, as we've noted in the past, and I think is important for us to recall, that there's no iser per se to become tameh for the majority of Rishonim. There is a mitzvah before the Shalosh Regalim to become Tahor, but generally speaking, it's a regular Tuesday. There's no Isser to become Tamei Meis unless you are a Kohen. Kohanim and Nazirim, they have an Isser of Tumas Meis, but the rest of us don't. But if you become Tamei Meis, you may want to get rid of that. Why would I want to get rid of that? Well, number one, I can be Metame other things if I'm Tamei Meis. Maybe I don't want to be Metame other things. And also, as an example, if I want to go into the mikdash, so if I'm tamei meis, I can't go into the mikdash. If I'm a kohen, I can't do avodah in the mikdash. A lot of things I can't do if I'm considered to be tamei. So I may want to become tahor, but strictly speaking, there's no iser whatsoever. How do you remove your tumah? What do I do if I'm tamei? So it depends on the level and the form of tumah that you have. So as an example, there are certain kinds of tumah where you go to a mikvah. And if you're tovah on the mikvah, that's all you have to do. And a person is able to become tahor. Some kinds of tamei people have to also offer karbanos. That relates to the mechusrei kapara that we saw. People who are tamei, and we saw at least within certain Rishonim, that part of the goal of their offering karbanos, a zav, a zava, a mitzora, and a yoledas, that their karbanos are able to help purify them. Other kinds of things you do to become tahor, so we saw as an example also, as we are really building in Chazara and hopefully taking some pride in just the amount of things that we've seen thus far, is Tzipore Mitzora. You become Tamei through being a Mitzora. It's a very complex process. And one of the things we do is this thing with two birds. We shecht one of them. The other, you know, we mix the blood with a bunch of other things. Take the live bird and sprinkle it. There's a lot of things that we do. Parah Aduma is what you do if you are Tamei Meis. First, interact with the dead body. So now they have to become pure, and aside from several other things they do, one of the things they need, they have to be sprinkled on them. They have to have Parah Aduma ashes sprinkled upon them. Now, there's a lot of different details, hence all of Meseches Parah, that deal with the details of this Parah Aduma. As an example, clearly the Parah Aduma has to be red. Now, what exactly are the standards of red? What if it has this many hairs that aren't red? How many hairs does it need? What if part of the hair is red and part of the hair isn't red? That's part of it, you know. Also, we know that the Torah tells us it can't have a mum. So you got to figure out what's considered to be a mum, what's not considered to be a mum. Those are important sugyas. In general, the sugyas in Maseches Bechoros, what's considered to make something a mum, and what is not considered to be a mum. Those are all important questions. It has to be asher lo ala aleha ol. It has to be that it didn't do work. There was no malacha that was really done to it. And you have to figure out how you're going to pay for it. V'yikhwe lecha paraduma, who's paying for it. A lot of halachas about the details of para aduma. There is, unsurprisingly, in light of what we know, I should point out also, we do a lot of things with the para aduma. We have your para aduma, aside from just the status of the animal, what's considered to be a para aduma. So we do a lot of things to it. We are going to shecht the para aduma. We're then going to have to somehow get it to become ashes. There's going to be a sureifas hapara. There are going to be hazaos. We're going to be sprinkling. And a lot of different details about what exactly we do with the para aduma. One of the questions, I think we probably could have anticipated this, one of the questions which is important to clarify, which we're going to clarify right now, is, so what's the status of para aduma? We're going to initially present two sort of broadly, again, the structure of the sugyas, they're very similar because it's the same question in multiple sugyas. But we're going to first present sort of two, generally speaking, mahalchim, and then we're going to sort of pin things down a little bit and make some suggestions and note a couple of areas where this comes up. When we learned para years ago, we spent a couple shiurim sort of going through all of this. We'll give a little bit of a condensed version, hopefully, to make things clear. On the one hand, you could argue, and it makes a lot of sense to argue this, that para aduma has no connection whatsoever to the world of karbanos. Para aduma is not offered on the mizbeach, not offered in the mikdash. Para aduma, we know in general in Shas, there's something called kachim and there's something called taros. Kachim has to do with kedusha, hektish, karbanos. Taros is something else, and you could easily argue, which again I think would be a very fair thing to argue, that essentially they are, that essentially paraduma is not a carbon at all, has no connection to carbonos, not that much to really talk about at all. You see this also, I believe, in a comment, as an example, of the Netziv. The Netziv points out, let me see if I can find it here quickly. Yeah. The Netziv points out the following. It's in his Perush al Torah. He happens to, I think, in Mizachas Vachem by this also. He said, you know, Kedusha and Tara are different. Kedusha, Kachim, and Taros are different. And Paraduma is entirely connected to the world of Taros, not to the world of Karbanos. And therefore, he says, I have two nafkaminas. There are two kinds of people that are not allowed to do avoda with Karbanos. One of them is an Onain. The day that one of your seven close relatives passes away, father, mother, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister. So a person is considered to be an onin. An onin is pasul from doing avod in the mikdash. Sugya is in the second parak of Maseches Vachem. Someone else that can't do avod in the mikdash is a tvul yom. There are certain people that become tameh. They are impure. They go to a mikvah, and then they're a tvul yom. Until sunset, that evening, they still have certain remnants of tumah. Sometimes to remove your tumah, you have to go to the mikvah during the day, and then you're in an in-between state called tevul yom, and only when sunset comes, so then you are considered to be pure. The halacha is that an onein and a tevul yom are not allowed to do avoda with karbanos. They're not allowed to do avoda with karbanos. Says the Netziv, here in Hamek Davar, he says, but, that an onein who can't offer karbanos and a tvul yom who can't do avodah and mikdash, they could, if they would want, they would be able to offer to the avodah paraduma because it's not really considered to be a karban. Okay. You have to be a kohen. Isn't that a sign that it's an avoda and it's a karba? And the answer is no. That sometimes kohanim do things not only as avodas, but because they are, certain things require kahuna. What's an example? So we gave an example last week. You know, the most pariv but bad example is when a Kohen gets reshown in Kriyas HaTorah, he is not considered to, he's not doing avod in the Mikdash then, he's just saying Baruch Hashem on Avorach. Or when a Kohen may be necessary to spot Nigayim, to say whether a person has Sara'as, that's not an avoda, it's a different halacha incumbent upon a Kohen specifically. Okay. Alternatively, it is very possible that Parah Aduma really, on some level, is a carbon. It's really a carbon. Why would I think that Parah Aduma is really considered to be a carbon? So the first example is not fancy at all. It's a Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Gimel Beis, but really it's a pasuk. The Torah calls Parah Aduma a chatas. Dichatas karya rachmana. So, well, if we call it a chatas, and we know that chatas is a carbon chatas, so mistama, the para is also considered to be a carbon, considered to be a carbon. The Ramban, I believe, seems to emphasize this also, and interestingly enough, the Ramban does that by connecting para aduma to the Seir la'azazel, to Egla Arufa, which maybe we'll speak about, where the Ramban points out, you know, we have these things that are like carbonos, the details of the Ramban, not for now, but we have these things that are like carbonos, even though they're really not in the Mikdash. We have these things that are considered to be, on some level, in the category of, or like carbonos. Now, what are nafkaminas? So the Netziv gave us a couple nafkaminas. What are nafkaminas? So we spoke about this, I think, in the past, at least during the year, that nafkaminas sometimes mean like, if you hold X, then the din should be Y. If you hold, you know, Z, then the din should be, you know, that. But sometimes you can have an interesting nafkamina, which is everyone agrees on what the halacha is, but it's more a question as to why is the halacha that way. What motivates you to say the halacha is what it is? So I want to frame for you a question. There are a lot more examples of this, but I think it's an interesting way of framing things, assuming that I have it here on the sheet. Yeah. Okay. The Moshav Zakenim, the Bali HaTovos, and their Perush HaTorah, ask an amazingly simple question. The Torah says as follows. Zos chukas haTorah, parshas para, parshas chukas. Asher tziva Hashem lemor dabra al bnei Yisrael, v'yikichu ilecha para aduma, timima. Asher ein ba mum. The para aduma can't have a mum. Ask the Moshav Zakenim an amazing question. I don't get it. If para aduma is really a carbon, the Torah even calls it a chatas. If it's really a carbon, why did the Torah have to teach me Para Aduma can't have a mum? Hooray! All carbonos are not allowed to have a mum. Why does the Torah have to say, Asher ein ba mum? Isn't it obvious? You told me Para Aduma is a chatas. And if Para Aduma is a chatas, so it's pashut, why it can't be a ba mum? All carbonos can't be a ba mum. So why does the Torah have to go out of its way to teach me that Para Aduma can't have a mum? Parentheses, it's structurally a very similar question to Tovos and Bava Basra we saw a couple of days ago, which is, didn't we already know Bikurim is only limited to Eretz Yisrael? It's a mitzvah tzuya ba'aretz. So why does the Pasuk have to teach it to me? It was obvious anyway. It's like a similar kind of a question. Unsurprisingly, you are going to find two camps of Rishonim and Achronim. Camp number one is going to say, Ein Hachinami. Para Aduma is a carbon. Para Aduma, that's why it can't have a mum. But there was some side reason why I would have thought that Para Aduma or some other reason why the Torah had to teach me mum is pasal. But really, you're right. Para Aduma is a carbon. And really, if I know it's a carbon, it should be obvious. Asher ein ba mum. But nevertheless, the Torah taught it to me anyway. Where do you see that? Why would you say that? So look as follows. Sorry, wrong. The Rambam Peirush on Mishnah on Para Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. The pasuk there mentions that there is something called a psul balmum. Says the Rambam there, an amazing thing. Chachamim sovrim. Why is a balmum pasul for a para? She para kache mizbeachi. Ulefichach posel bakomum haposel bekachim. The lacha is, as the Chachamim say, kohamumim apsulim bimukdashim poslim bepara. If it's possible for a karban, it's possible for a para. Why? Says the Rambam, because the kulam poslim paraduma, the fisha amar asher ein ba mum. That's why, says the Rambam, that is why it's because it is a karban. That's why asher ein ba mum. So what's the pasuk doing? What's the pasuk doing? If asher ein ba mum, so why do I have the pasuk to teach it to me? Don't I know, isn't it obvious? If it's a karban, a mum is pasul. So there's a couple ways to go. But sorry, one more marmakum. The Rosh in his Perush al Torah even writes, Asher ein ba mum, kol mum, kmo karban, t'achatas karya rachmana. So the Rosh, like, avoids the question. The Rabbim also, it's like, no. That's what's going on here. It's pasul ba mum because it's a karban. So why did the Torah have to teach it to me? So I believe there are two mahalchim. I think the Meshech Chachma says, because even though it's like a karban, it's a little bit more lenient than karbanos. We don't really are not makiv on the mizbeah. We treat it. It has certain kulas. And therefore, I would have thought, maybe, ba'amum should be mutter, so the Torah teaches me no. Meaning, really, it's possible because it's a karban. And the Torah is saying, don't think we're more makel, and therefore it's not mamish, like, you know, it's not. And since it has a little bit of a lower level of Kedusha, don't say that. The Aruch HaShulchan, I believe, suggests, again, I believe the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, the following. He says, no. This pasuk is what teaches me that Para Aduma is a karban. Asher Ein Bamum. Oh, wow! This must be a karban. That's why Bamum is pasul. Oh, says the Aruch HaShulchan, but don't I know it's a karban because the Torah calls it chatas? It's called chatas karya rachmana. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, no. And pay attention because it's so reminiscent of a chiluk we saw about the Seir la'azazel. What is the Aruch HaShulchan saying? The fact that we call it chatas karya rachmana, so we know that there are different, when we say something's a karban, we could mean different things. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe I could think when we say chatas karya rachmana, that means the maisas that we do to it are similar to the maisas that we do to a chatas. The shchita has to be similar to the shchita of a chatas. But I wouldn't have known that the karban itself is kadosh, b'kedushas karban. That wasn't so obvious to me. That I wouldn't necessarily have been able to know. That's not something which would have been so pashut. So therefore, the Torah had to tell me, no, asher ein bamum. It's like a karban, that the animal itself is like a karban. And therefore, not just you have to do actions to it, maisas, as if it's a chatas, but it has kedusha also of a chatas. And because it has kedusha of a chatas, so that's why the bamum is considered to be pasul. That's all one camp. Why does the Torah have to teach me that the balmum is, and that you can't use a para aduma if it has blemishes, there are issues in its body? Why teach me that? Because isn't it obvious it's a carbon? Answer, it is a carbon. But maybe this is how I know it's a carbon. Or even if it's a carbon, I could have thought it's like a little bit more makel. So, nah, don't say that. Don't say it. It's what the Meshech Chachma writes here. Al korchach dekila tfei kedushasa. It's a bit more makel. A tvul yom could do it. That's that. Okay. The general clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. The Karen Ora in Sota, hopefully tomorrow next week we'll speak about Egla Rufa. I don't know anything about it, so that's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but you know. That's why we're learning. Says the Karen Ora something fascinating. Karen Ora says, no. The fact that the Torah said, Asher Ein Bamum, Nira mid itzerich lemichtav asher ein bamam. Shma mina de lo amrinan lechol mile meha dechatas kari rachmana. Lo yafina el devar erva vavodas elilim. Says the Karanova, no. It's not, I think there's one way of saying, it's not really a carbon that much. It's, even though the Torah calls it a chatas, chatas is not redefining its essence to make it into a carbon. It means it has a little bit of an overlap as far as certain halachas. If Avodah Zarah is done to it, you can't use it as a kosher paraduma, but it's not defining its kedusha. Mashal l'mahadavar doma, if you remember, we spoke about a while ago, something called the minchas chote. It's a carbon mincha, which if you're too poor to afford certain carbonos, you can bring, instead of bringing an animal, you can bring a mincha flower offering as your carbon. The Torah says it's a chatas. So which is it? Is it a mincha or is it a chatas? So the Brisker Rav said the fact that we call it a chatas is defining its whole essence and its whole kedusha. And Rav Yeshua Salvation pointed out that no, from the Shemukh Betzes, it sounds like it's not redefining it. It means there's a certain overlap. So too here, says the Karen Ora, the fact that we call it Chatas does not mean that we should totally redefine entirely its essence. Paraduma is not a kachim halacha. It's a din in Hilchos Taharos. If you want to purify someone, you have to shecht it, and you have to burn it and sprinkle it. That's what you have to do. But it's not really considered to be a carbon. So what you see thus far is we've seen there's something called para aduma, we use to purify a person from Tumas Mace. We saw that in truth, it is possible that it's like a carbon, maybe it's not like a carbon, got to figure that out. It impacts why the Torah to tell me asher im bamum, was it obvious, was it not obvious, impacts the tziv says, tvo yom and onain. We saw that that's a little bit of the beginning. There are two, I think, it's possible, just like we saw with the Seir La'azazel, that it's a little bit more complicated than just, is it a carbon, is it not a carbon? Unsurprisingly also, a lot of the similar svaras that we see in Seir La'azazel and Tzipor Mitzora are going to exist here also. One of the reasons why the more you know, oddly enough, the more creative you could be. So on some level you would say it's not really creativity, it's reapplying what you already seen. But there is a creativity in reapplying. And the more that you know, the easier it is to sort of like reapply. So I want to point out there are probably three ways of deepening this question. But in the past, you have a chakira, different ways of deepening it. Reb Chaim, similar to what Reb Chaim does in Seir La'azazel, understands, this is a yesod that's quoted in a bunch of different contexts. We're not going to have time to really develop it. But says Reb Chaim, is it a carbon or not? It depends at what stage in the process. We say, yes, it's Seir La'azazel. At the beginning it is, then it's not, and different stages in the process. So Reb Chaim says something very similar also. It's quoted in Reb Chaim in Hilchos Me'ilah, I believe. It's quoted in the Gracha Al Shas and Temura and Daf Tes. It's quoted in a bunch of different places where Reb Chaim says the following. If I can find it. If I can find it, that'd be great. If not, based on the Rambam, there's a Kesef Mishnah that says that, based on the Rambam, Rambam says that Paraduma is more like Bedek Habayis, not like Kachem Mizbeach, not for now, although it's all really important. The Rambam says it's not really like a Chatas the entire time. He says as an example, he says here, it applies when you are offering it, but once you've already done all the avoda to it, once you've already done everything to it, then it's not considered to be a chatas the same way. I believe he also says on the earlier end, I'm sorry, I apologize for being less clear about this. It's very sloppy on my end. Those are very famous. One second. I believe Reb Chaim also says, and I can't find it right now, and I find that frustrating, that it becomes, says Reb Chaim, exactly, Avi, correct, it becomes only like a carbon at the Shechita itself. It's not called the shechita until the, it's not called the karban until you shecht it. That's part of what gives it its kedusha. So initially it's not a karban, you shecht it and it becomes a karban. And afterwards it loses it again. Once you've done all the avoda, it's no longer considered to be really a chatas. And if that's the pshat, so again we understand a little bit more about for the Rambam, is it or is it not considered to be like a karban? So it really depends a bit at what stage in the game you are talking about. Okay. The Rambam said once it became Eifet, that's not for me, it's from Elah and things like that. There is, I think there are two other ways of saying it based on a different discussion. Meaning, Avi, what it means is that it's at certain stages, it's like a karban, and therefore if you get benefit from it, maybe you violate Isser Me'ilah of Hekdesh. But if it's not a karban, meaning until you shecht it potentially, or after you've already burned it, if that's not called a karban anymore, and at that point I say there may be no Isser Me'ilah, or questions like that. There is, I think, an additional two ways of breaking it down. It's not precise, but I think it's a helpful way of saying it, and that's the following. There is a bit of a stira in a Gemara in Moed Katan and a Gemara in the beginning of Yuma. The Gemara in Moed Katan says, "Ma para aduma michaperes, af misasan shel tzadikim michaperes." The Gemara says that para aduma off works to give over kapara. Give over kapara. However, the Gemara in Yuma at the beginning of Meseches Yuma says pretty clearly, "Upara lav bas kapara hi." It's not there for kapara. So which is it? Wonders some of the Rishonim, wonders the Achronim. It gives kapara, doesn't give kapara. If it gives kapara, what is it? So Tov is by the Moed Katan, it's kapara al maisa ha'egel. It gives kapara, that even Rashi quotes a bit in his Perashat Torah, we messed up with the Cheda Egel, para, golden calf, the way that we sanctify that, the way we fix that is by doing it. So, yeah, David, it depends a little bit on just in different, that's why there are different components of what makes it a carbon, which is why it's going to shift in different things in different ways. So which is it? Which is it? It gives kapara, it doesn't give kapara. What's the din? So there is a gevuras ari. He has two suggestions. One suggestion says the gevuras ari is the difference between the para aduma made by Moshe Rabbeinu and the para aduma that was done by all other subsequent doros. The para aduma done by Moshe Rabbeinu in that era, we needed kapara on Chet HaEgel. So Moshe's para gave kapara, but in subsequent generations, there's no Isser to become Tameh at all. You know, there's no Isser. You don't need Kapara for anything. We got the Kapara. Moshe got Kapara Cheda Egel. The reason why we offer Paraduma, it's not for Kapara at all. So the Gemara in Moed Katan that says that Paraduma gives Kapara is the Para that Moshe made. The Gemara in Yuma that says Paraduma does not give Kapara means all subsequent Paras. If that is true, it is possible to suggest. You can take it or leave it, but I would probably think that one of the reasons why I would want potentially to argue that para aduma is like a karban and that its chatas connection is very strong is if it is there to cause kapara. One of the defining characteristics of many and most probably karbanos is that they give kapara, and it's certainly the defining characteristic of karban chatas. So I would say that one gives kapara, and that's really how you. And that's really how you do it. If Moshe's was more of a karban, maybe subsequently it was somewhat less of a karban. Moshe's gave kapara more like a karban, ours less kapara, less like a karban. That's at least one way I think of going. Okay? There is something else which he suggests also. We'll say it a little bit differently than the way that he does. He says as follows. He says, really, and he's speaking within within Moshe, but I think you could probably distinguish, you know, in general, that maybe Para Aduma has multiple components. He's saying it was in Moshe's part, but we would say it maybe in a broader sense. Is it like a carbon? Is it not like a carbon? The answer is yes and no. it is like a carbon, it's also not like a carbon. It's called chatas, has overlap with certain dinim. It's also different than a carbon. Therefore, the Torah had to teach me in addition, additionally, that it has asher im bamum. Potentially, this is how he says it, its dominant function is not a carbon. Its dominant function is to lead to tahara. That's what it really does. The kapara is a secondary function. Para adum mechaperes means it does give kapara, but the Gemara in Yuma speaking, like fundamentally, essentially, its primary goal is not to give kapara. In that sense, it's not really a carbon in its core definition, but it is. It has elements of kedushas hakarbon, which has nafkaminas, but it's not really a sweeping. It's like going back to what the Karen Ora said, which is even we call it chatas lav luchomili, we call it chatas. Or, like the Tziv we saw yesterday about the Seir La'azazel says, even if we call it Shnei Seirim Chatas, it's like a Chat, but not entirely like a Chatas, and something along those lines. I'll make an additional suggestion. I didn't see this anywhere, I don't think, but maybe I did, and if not, it's not so fancy, in light of everything that we know. We're setting up an amazingly interesting question. Is para aduma more of like a taharos idea, or is it more of a karbanos kachim idea? And the surges in the tziv emphasize those are really very different. There's a seder and shas called kachim, a seder and shas called taharos. Same way that nashim and the zikin and moi, different areas of Torah, and every area of Torah has its own dinim, its own structure. But I wonder if it's not interesting. And if there is a link between para aduma and the world of karbanos, its link is through which carbon? The carbon of chatas. And what have we seen about chatas? What we've seen about chatas is that even though it looks like initially the goal of chatas is to give kapara, it looks like the goal of chatas is to get you forgiven for your sins, but we saw that the word chatas doesn't always mean that. And not all chatases really seem to give you kapara. The chatas of a nazir we saw it with. The chatas maybe of Rosh Chodesh. Different chatos, I believe, that we've seen. And we know that the word chatas can come not only from chet, but also from chitoy. What is chitoy? To purify, to sanitize. In that sense, it's possible that para aduma and the chatas are really sort of the middle ground where you find that kachim and taros merge. It's like a carbon, but some carbonos bring tahara. Some carbonos are metahir you. Like we saw with the mechusve kapara, that some carbonos act in terms of giving you tahara. And if that is true, so maybe it's not really like, is it one, is it the other? Is it sometimes one, sometimes the other? Is it both, but one is secondary? But maybe part of what it is that it's really one. That the line between Kedusha and Tahara maybe is not as great as an Etziv makes it sound in Chumash. And that maybe, at least for some, Kedusha and Tahara, and many of us may have intuitively felt that Kedusha and Tahara are really very much connected. As I think Rav Zevin may point out in Lora Halacha, maybe it's in the Kuzari, I think those who have more Kedusha can also have more Tahara and Tumah. And those with less Kedusha have less. That's how he explains the Gemara. Some Mepharshim explain the Gemara. Why, for a non-Jew, they can't have Tumas Ohel for some days in Chazal. Because the more Kedusha you have, Zelu Umaze Ase Elokim, the more potential for Tumah you have. And if Jews have more Kedusha, so when they have Tumah, it's Tumas Ohel. It's a much more powerful form of Tumah. Again, the politically correct nature of this for a different time. Whether you always shouldn't buy it also for a different time. But when it comes to Kedusha and Tahara, maybe the ideas are not as different as you would have thought. And if that's the case, maybe it's like a carbon that's metahir you, and that's all one. In that sense, it would have a unique kind of a phenomenon you have in the world of Chal. You have to go figure out the details of that idea. But at least an idea for us to explore, I believe that is. Guys.